And good morning, everyone. It's great to be here. Brother Frank invited me out, which I'm tremendously, excited and thankful for. Anytime I get a chance to come out and talk about my favorite thing, my favorite person, Jesus, I jump at the chance. And I love it, and I love you guys, so I'm thankful, and thank you for having me. My name's Brother Clint, and you might wonder where I got that from. It's actually because of Brother Frank here. I started this journey about 3 years ago. I've gone from Blue Eye, Missouri, which is down by Arkansas, gone all the way down there, all the way to Hell. And you might think that's crazy, but no, there's really a town in Missouri called Hell. It's Hell, Missouri, and when I told Jamie we were going there, she said, I digress, but I'm going to say it anyways because it's funny. She said, "Hell, Mo." So, it was exactly like you would think it was. Awesome. So, but anyways, when I started this journey, they said, what do we call you? I'm like, "Well, I'm Clint." And they're like, "Okay, Clint, are you a pastor or what?" And I thought, "Brother Frank, that was awesome." So I said, "I'm Brother Clint," and it just kind of ran with it. And now I know we just met, but I'm going to go into some pretty big trauma for my wife and I. And she's used to it because it was traumatic. But about 2.5 years ago, a little bit longer than that, we found out she was pregnant. I'm old, so I already cried. But then I cried for joy, too, because the doctor said, "Don't kill me. They're twins." And I said, "You've just killed me." But anyways, I didn't know how exciting they'd be until my wife started having seizures. My 9-year-old, who was 6 at the time, you can do the math, we were playing video games together, and we heard a weird noise. So I went into the bedroom, and there she was, thrashing and screaming and moaning. And my first instinct was just to grab her. And I did, and that didn't help. I thought she was dying. I thought my babies were dying. And thankfully, my 9-year-old, who was 6 at the time, she started praying to Jesus, "Save my mommy." Thank goodness for her, because I was just sitting there thinking the most dire thing in the world, but she knew exactly what to do. She said, "Save my mommy." 24 hours later, her mommy was saved, and her twin sisters were born. They were 2 pounds each. You fit them in your hand. You could see their veins, and you could see all the workings, all the knitting that Jesus does in the mystery. You could see it right there. We spent 71 days in the NICU. And you might think that's a lot, but that's actually not too bad. That what I found out, a lot of people spend, a lot of babies spend half a year to a year there. But we spent 71, and that's enough. That's enough. And they are so beautiful and tiny and fragile. They're hooked up to more wires and machines than I even knew possible. I still hear the sound. It's the ding, 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 ding. And of course, that always brings out the breath out of you. And I'll be honest, at that time, I didn't feel strong. I didn't feel like a man. I didn't feel like a Christian. I didn't feel like I was who I was supposed to be, and I wasn't in a good headspace. And since we spent those months in the NICU just waiting on doctors, waiting on good news, we're waiting. They're in their little plastic boxes. Oh no, something else happens. Oh no, they're getting shots. Oh no, they're almost dead. And yes, that's a true thing. I say that like that, but that's a true feeling, is what is going to happen next. The hammer is going to fall. But here's what I learned through all of that. Trusting Jesus doesn't mean you always understand what he's doing. It means you believe it's still good even when you don't know what's going on. Because while I was waiting, Jesus was working. And while I was breaking, he was building. And while I was losing control, he was showing me that he had it all in control. He never lost sight. Like me, I lost my vision. I lost my hope. But he never lost sight of me. He never lost sight of my girls. He never lost sight of my wife. I didn't know she couldn't remember any of it. 2 weeks later, she has no idea any of that happened. And I was making all the decisions. Unfortunately for her, I was making all of the decisions. But she doesn't know any of them, so I mean, I'm safe there. So yeah, I've been through it, and yeah, I still go through it. I know, just like a lot of you guys, my wife said this is kind of a mean way of saying it, but our circumstances are not special. Our circumstances, they happen to everyone. Losing a job, losing, unfortunately, you know, losing a loved one, a marriage. I wish I could lose my dog sometimes. But like I said, I digress. No, I love dogs. No, don't hold that against me. That was a joke. He's old. He's 16. He's blind. He barks at the couch. It gets a little annoying. But you know what happens when you go through it? You take your friends and your family with you. You take them through your shame, and like I said, your lost vision, and your depression, and your self-pity. Your friends and your kids and your amazing wife, they falter at the sight of you faltering. Not because they're weak, but because they love you. And when your grip slips, they start slipping too, because what can they grasp onto? They can't grab onto you because you're already down. And when we find ourselves waiting in the moments of life, waiting and wondering, where is God? Watching the pieces we built fall to rubble. And we say, Lord, is this really what you brought me here for? Do you really want me to see my wife chewing on her tongue, out of her mind, and these two precious little babies looking like Voldemort? Have you ever watched Harry Potter when they throw them in the, they threw them in the pot? That's what they looked like to me. I can't wait to tell them about it when they're able to actually know what I'm saying. Y'all might have even heard them down there. I was kind of nervous because this place is still standing and they've been here for a little over an hour. But is this really what you brought me here for, Lord? But it's in the waiting that Jesus is whispering, I'm here and I've always been here. And that's going to bring us to our main text today. But before that, let's go ahead and bow our head and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this beautiful day. And the drive here was so beautiful. Your painting of life is just mind-blowing, with the rays going through the fog and the trees changing color. And Lord, I just think about your control of all things. You're from the beginning all the way to the end. You have everything in control. And I just say thank you, Lord. Thank you for all things. Thank you for love, laughter, and good people. And thank you for letting us know how good it is. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So I'm going to start at Philippians 1. And I'm going to let Jesus guide me and see how long I read it for. Good thing about Philippians is it's short. But I guess that depends on how you think of things. But it starts out with Paul and Timothy. It says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it meet for me to thank this all of you, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye are all partakers of my grace. And for God is my record how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may be approved things that are excellent, that may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. And that brings us to our big idea today, which is trusting Jesus. That's really simple, and I'm glad for that because I'm a simple man. I can't think of too long of things, or I will start forgetting where I was going or where I've been. So we're going to trust Jesus in the waiting, in the process, and in his word. And my first point is trusting in the waiting. And the key verse for this is Psalm 27:14, where Paul writes, "Wait for the Lord." And I said Paul, but I meant David. "Wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart, and wait for the Lord." He says, "Wait for the Lord," twice there. And you know what? Waiting is hard. Have you ever waited for Christmas? I'm dying right now because I know what I get to open before my kids get to open it. I know all the candy. But waiting is hard. Think about it. Jonah waited for Nineveh's destruction. Jonah waited for Nineveh's destruction. Noah waited on the rain. Moses waited on Pharaoh and on God's people to believe. Abraham waited for his name, waited for a son, a promise, and then waited again for the ram. And I say these things in contrast of what I'm trying to say is that Jonah wanted Nineveh's destruction, but God had other plans because he is faithful to fulfill what his plans are, because, I mean, how could he not? That's who he is. Noah waited on the rain because everyone said he was crazy, and he knew that Jesus wasn't crazy. Moses waited on Pharaoh because Pharaoh had a hard heart. And then he waited on God's people because they also had a hard heart. And then Abraham waited for a name. He didn't know he was waiting for a name, but he was glad when God gave it to him. But he was waiting on a son from the promise, which God fulfilled in that as well. And then God said, you know what? Offer him to me as a sacrifice. And he was like, but what about the promise? So he's waiting on the promise. And then he wasn't aware of it, but it showed in that he got the ram that he knew he wanted in his heart. And to wait is to trust. And when the 125 mile per hour winds of life start whipping up and the rain blinds your sight and the hell pounds your body and your hope, Jesus is in the waiting. You can't see him, but he's there. And like I like to say to people, you know, the seen more unreal than the unseen. Because this realness that we experience will pass away and our eternity is real beyond with Jesus. And you can trust in Jesus, and you can trust him in that. And it says, the Lord is good. Jeremiah said, the Lord is good to those who hope, whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. He wrote that in Lamentations. He says that Lamentations is, as we all know or should know or will know, is being in sadness. But say this with me. It is good to wait on the Lord, right? Yeah. And it's good that he wants you to wait on the Lord, which comes to brings us to my second point, which is trust in the process. And the key verse is, we're going back to the main text. It's Philippians 1:6. It is he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Trusting the process is just a different kind of waiting. It's the kind that believes, I'm coming out of this stronger, wiser, and more like Jesus. That's what he wants us to do. You see, the process is God's workshop. He's refining you, not rejecting you. Let me tell you, that's a hard concept for me to accept because I am a people pleaser. I need people to accept me. And I want them to accept me on my terms, and I want them to laugh at everything I say because I feel like I'm hilarious. But my wife reminds me that if I'm the only one laughing, it's really not that funny. So you see, he's refining me daily, especially with my wife. And I love her, and I love him for that. But when Paul went to Philippi, he met a woman of purple cloth, a slave girl set free from darkness, and a soldier who almost took his own life. And out of that came the first church in Europe in Philippi. And God took the most unlikely people, and through waiting in the process, he built his kingdom and is building his kingdom. And he will never leave you or forsake you in the waiting, but he will refine you in the process. And you, if you're like me, then you know that process is painful. It hurts. But sometimes the pain is worth the freedom. And I know this personally because I just saw Dr. Raskukoff. And I know that means nothing to you, but he does muscle skeleton therapy. And he hurts, but man, you feel good after. But C.S. Lewis said it beautifully. And C.S. Lewis, he was an author who was an atheist who said he went to the zoo with his brother. And when he got there, he realized that Jesus was the Son of God. I thought that was hilarious. And he says that trust is not blind. It's the highest form of reason joined with joy. It's the highest form of reason joined with joy. And the faith in Jesus is, faith meaning forsaking all, I trust in him. My pastor at LifePoint said that. Or he told me that. He probably got it from someone else. So now it's ours. So we trust in the process. We trust the one who's still writing the story, the one who's in charge of all things, and thankfully the Alpha and the Omega. And thankfully that he is in control. Which brings us to my third and last point, which is trust in the Word. And our key verse on that one is John 8:31-2. If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You are indeed free if you believe in Jesus. And the Word isn't just text on paper. The Word became flesh with Jesus himself. He's the beginning and the end. Like I just said, he's the Alpha and the Omega. Without the Word, there is no salvation. And without the Word, there is no hope in the waiting. And there's no hope in the process. And so we are here to gather together, hoping in Jesus fulfilling what he said he would, and trusting that he is who he says he is, and not just some crazy madman. Not for just our own saving, but for the lost sheep of the world, who have a hopelessness that is undefined because they don't know Jesus. But unlike them, we trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. That's what they wrote in Proverbs 3:5-6. We trust in the Lord with all our heart. And lean not on our own understanding. His word anchors you when everything else drifts. His word frees you from the chains, and his word reveals his heart. When the Lord Jesus enters, we can recognize those chains start snapping, life starts blooming, and the joy of the Lord, which strengthens us to persevere and continue the race for Jesus. And as life is destroying all things around us, and there's wires and beeps, and your hope comes out to a little six-year-old praying to Jesus, "Save my mommy," which I remind her he did. That's a prayer answered right there for the rest of her life. She can fall on that. That Jesus saved my mommy when I asked him to. And not only that, he's also saved her sisters, which she is maybe some days, whenever they're found in her room, she's not too happy about. And like I said, I'm still thankful this building's standing. If you've seen our house, it's messy. But I'm going to bring it home to you guys. David wrote in Psalm 37 as an old man. You know, he went through a lot of things, a lot of them from his own making. But he said, "I was young and now I'm old, yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him, and refrain from anger and turn from wrath. It leads only to evil. But be still before the Lord and wait patient for him." Because we know as sons and daughters, not as victims of this world, which we were once a part of, but as sons and daughters of the holy God of all things, that we can trust him in the waiting, in the process of the waiting, and the word that is Christ. Just like his disciples, whenever he rose back from the dead, Thomas said, "I will not believe it until I can place my hands in the holes of his body." And he gets to do that. And now we get to talk about him doing that. And he even called Doubting Thomas. That's not really fair to him, because I would probably have done the same thing or worse. But they're not going to talk about me, because that's Thomas's fault. But if you can apply this to your day, I ask that you trust in your waiting. Because while you're waiting, God is working in the unseen. And then trust in the process of what's going on, because every chain has purpose and every tear is counted. And then last, trust in his word. His promises are your anchor to him. And every tear you've cried over, every chain that's been wrapped around your ankles and broken, he is just to complete them. Now, if you don't mind, if you could bow your heads with me one more time, we'll pray to Jesus. Dear Heavenly Father, your character is defined by strength and faithfulness. So as we wait on you, give us perseverance. And as we walk through the process, refine us to your image. And as we cling to your word, fill us with the courage to share it. So your gospel, the word, Jesus, spreads beyond our walls, beyond our city gates, and into the hearts of those still waiting to trust in you. In your awesome and mighty name, Jesus, thank you and amen.